Imagine turning on your PC today, right? And you suddenly realize the graphics card sitting inside it is, well, it's actually worth more than the car parked in your driveway.
Yeah, which sounds like a joke, but it's basically where we're at.
Exactly. Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today is April 1st, 2026, and the consumer gaming industry, as we know it, is just, it's officially being eaten alive by AI data centers.
Right, swallowed whole.
We are entering what industry insiders are currently calling the rampocalypse. The physical hardware that powers our entertainment is completely drying up, but the software is evolving in some genuinely terrifying and brilliant ways to save the medium.
It really is a double-edged sword right now.
Totally. And for you listening right now, we've pulled together a massive stack of sources that paint just a wild picture of this new reality. We're looking at official financial bulletins from Sony and NVIDIA, technical presentations fresh off the floor of the 2026 Game Developers Conference, and some pretty dire supply chain reports from giants like TSMC and MSI. Okay, let's unpack this.
I think the sheer economic shockwave that hit the market yesterday with Sony's announcement is, well, it's the perfect entry point.
No.
Because Sony just did the unthinkable.
The price hike, right.
Yeah, they hiked the PS5 Pro by $150 mid-generation, which brings it to a massive $899.
Just insane for a console.
Right. And they didn't spare the rest of the lineup either. I mean, the base disc version jumped to $650, and the digital edition is pushing $600.
Wow.
When a console manufacturer raises prices 3 years into a hardware cycle, it shatters the fundamental Moore's Law trickle-down effect that, consumers rely on.
Yeah, and the immediate reaction online, predictably, has been this massive outcry about corporate greed. Like, how could Sony do this to us?
Of course.
But looking at these supply chain reports, this actually isn't about Sony trying to, pad their quarterly margins. They are dealing with a severe, almost suffocating choke point at the foundational level of electronics manufacturing.
Exactly. It's way bigger than Sony.
Right. The giants of the AI arms race, so NVIDIA, Meta, Microsoft, they are buying up absolutely all of the global GDDR6 silicon to build out their AI data centers. I mean, they are intercepting the raw materials before a PlayStation factory even gets a chance to bid on them.
Yeah, and to really understand the mechanics of this, we have to look at how a foundry like TSMC actually operates. Because TSMC in Taiwan physically prints these chips on silicon wafers. And they have a hard, finite cap on how many 3-nanometer or 4-nanometer wafers they can produce in a single month. It's just physical reality. So every time TSMC allocates a fabrication line, they look at the profit margin.
Which makes sense for a business.
Right. And an AI company building a billion-dollar data center is completely willing to pay a massive premium to secure that silicon. Because, one high-end AI accelerator will generate millions in software revenue for them.
Right, whereas a consumer gaming console APU offers what, razor-thin margins by comparison?
Exactly. Pennies on the dollar. So TSMC is simply following the money. They're dedicating their advanced fabrication lines to the high-margin AI chips. Sony is forced to raise prices just because the raw cost of securing whatever factory space is left has become like exponentially more expensive.
And that bottleneck is bleeding heavily into the PC market as well. Like, we've got this massive warning from MSI and several Taiwanese hardware suppliers projecting just a brutal spring for consumers.
Yeah, the DRAM and VRAM numbers are ugly.
Really ugly. Prices are jumping 15 to 30% across the board. The reports detail how cloud giants are basically hoarding HBM3E memory for their AI clusters. But I want to dig into how that specifically kills the budget PC market. Like, why does hoarding high-end enterprise memory make a budget graphics card impossible to manufacture?
Well, it all comes down to factory retooling. See, memory suppliers like SK Hynix and Micron, they only have so many clean rooms and packaging facilities. And because HBM3E is incredibly complex to stack and package, and frankly, because the AI giants are throwing blank checks at them, these memory manufacturers are literally taking standard GDDR6 production lines offline.
Wait, they're physically shutting them down.
Yes, and converting them to HBM3E lines. So the global supply of the basic memory used in low-end and mid-range PC components is just evaporating.
Wow.
The manufacturers simply cannot afford to waste scarce silicon on budget components anymore. It's just not worth their time.
There's a quote in our sources from Peter Lee. He's a top Taipei hardware analyst, and I think it perfectly summarizes the grim reality for consumers right now. He stated, "The golden age of cheap PC gaming is over, and if you have good gear today, you are the luckiest person for the next 5 years. Upgrading now without exact needs is a massive mistake."
It's a sobering quote, but he's completely right.
I mean, it's like trying to buy a standard family car. But you find out the entire global steel industry has been contracted to build tanks for a war, and that war is the AI arms race. Your gaming PC just doesn't stand a chance against a $1 trillion defense budget.
That analogy perfectly maps to the supply chain reality, I think. And it really forces a massive pivot for the entire tech sector. I mean, if physically printing more silicon is off the table because enterprise data centers just outbid the consumer market every time, the industry has to completely rethink how graphics are rendered.
Right. We can't just throw more hardware at the problem anymore.
Exactly. We cannot rely on brute force hardware improvements. We essentially have to cheat physics.
Which brings us to the immediate bad news from NVIDIA. Those mid-generation RTX 50 series super GPUs that the enthusiast market was eagerly waiting for.
Yeah, the ones everyone wanted.
Right, well, they've been heavily delayed or just entirely canceled. Because TSMC is dedicating all of its capacity to NVIDIA's Blackwell Enterprise AI chips. NVIDIA is effectively cannibalizing its own consumer gaming line to feed its enterprise AI line.
It's brutal for the consumer.
It really is. But, according to our sources, they are pivoting hard into a software revolution to bypass this physical silicon limit. They've teased their upcoming Rubin architecture, which is slated for late 2026 or early 2027, and it's built around this concept of generative render.
Right, and this shift to generative render is a wild attempt to abandon the traditional rasterization pipeline entirely.
Okay, break that down for us.
So traditional graphics rendering is heavily reliant on geometry and really complex math. The hardware calculates light bounces, textures, millions of polygons, and it's physically drawing every single pixel on your screen, frame by frame.
Which takes a lot of power.
Huge amounts of power.
Mm-hmm.
It is incredibly resource intensive, hence the need for massive amounts of VRAM. But Rubin attempts to change the math by using a unified layer of specialized tensor cores. So instead of calculating the scene, it uses predictive modeling to just generate the image based on contextual understanding.
Wait, so if it's generative render, it's not actually drawing the game environment anymore? It's essentially hallucinating the graphics in real time. How does that even work without massive lag? I mean, hallucinating frames might work for an AI art generator, but in a 120 frame per second competitive shooter, if I snap my character around 180 degrees, the environment behind me needs to be there instantly.
Right, exactly.
Does the math actually check out on this, or is NVIDIA just overpromising to cover up their lack of consumer silicon?
What's fascinating here is how they are tackling that exact latency bottleneck, because you're hitting on the absolute core challenge of neural rendering. To avoid that input lag, the hallucination happens locally and predictively, and it's deeply integrated with the game engine itself.
Locally, meaning on the card itself.
Yes, the tensor cores on the Rubin chip aren't, like, querying a cloud server. They are pre-trained on the game's specific visual data and telemetry. So before you even turn your character around, the engine feeds vector data, like your velocity, the camera angle, the lighting sources, directly into the local neural net.
Okay, I think I see where this is going.
Yeah, so the GPU doesn't calculate the physics of the shadow on the brick wall behind you. It infers the mathematical result of that shadow instantaneously.
So the game engine essentially gives the tensor cores the wireframe blueprint of the world, and the GPU fills in the high-fidelity paint instantly based on its training, rather than rendering the paint molecule by molecule.
That is the exact mechanism, and generation is vastly less computationally heavy than traditional rasterization. It frees the GPU from the physical limitations of the memory bus. You don't need a massive, power-hungry $2,000 graphics card to draw a photorealistic environment if a much leaner, smarter chip can just accurately generate it using localized predictive modeling.
That is just a staggering technical leap, but Rubin is still months, maybe a full year away from hitting the shelves.
True.
Which raises a pretty pressing question for you listening at home. What about right now? If you are sitting on an older PC and you definitively cannot afford these inflated Rampocalypse hardware prices, what is keeping your machine viable today?
Well, the immediate lifeline actually isn't coming from hardware manufacturers at all. It's coming from the game engines. Epic Games just pulled back the curtain on the Unreal Engine 5.8 preview, which is launching fully in mid-June, and they are executing a massive pivot.
Yeah, they kind of had to, right?
Absolutely. After years of developers just struggling with performance drops and heavy stuttering when using demanding features like Lumen and Nanite, Epic is turning its entire focus to pure optimization.
If the hardware can't keep up with the engine's demands, the engine just has to become radically more efficient.
Exactly. And the GDC technical presentations for UE 5.8 highlighted two specific additions to fix this. the Unreal Animation Framework, or UAF, and the Mass Rendering API.
I really want to drill into the Mass Rendering API because the numbers they are claiming in these sources are staggering. Like, up to 40% higher frame rates out of low-end and mid-range PCs in crowded open-world games with zero loss in visual quality.
It sounds like magic, but it's just really good code.
But how exactly does a software update squeeze 40% more juice out of a 3-year-old graphics card?
It entirely comes down to solving the CPU draw call bottleneck. Mm-hmm. So imagine a complex, crowded game, say, a bustling city street. Your GPU is often sitting idle for microseconds, just waiting for the CPU to tell it what to draw next.
Okay.
Every unique pedestrian, every distinct piece of trash on the street requires a unique set of instructions, which is called a draw call. When RAM is limited, your computer is constantly swapping this data in and out of memory, choking the CPU, which then literally starves the GPU. The Mass Rendering API fundamentally changes how that data is batched.
Oh, it's like a kitchen during a dinner rush.
Oh.
If the master chef, which is the GPU, has to stop cooking every time they need an onion chop, the whole kitchen slows down.
Right, perfect analogy.
So the Mass Rendering API acts as the ultimate sous chef. It uses a highly advanced caching system to prep and group all those draw calls together. It instances the data for the city streets, so the CPU just hands the GPU one massive, perfectly organized batch of ingredients. The GPU never has to start cooking.
That's a highly accurate way to look at memory management. By aggressively optimizing the cache and batching those rendering tasks, Epic Games is essentially patching your old hardware to make it faster.
Which is amazing for the consumer.
Oh, for a consumer trapped in this hardware drought, this level of software optimization is like water in the hardware desert. It's the only thing keeping them in the ecosystem without needing to take out a personal loan for a new rig.
Which really highlights a massive philosophical transition happening across the entire industry right now. Since developers can no longer rely on these giant generational leaps in physical hardware power to make games look better, they are shifting their focus entirely. If you can't make the game look twice as good, you have to make it twice as smart.
Yes, the industry is officially entering the intelligence era. We are basically trading brute force visual upgrades for deep behavioral intelligence. And Microsoft's presentation at GDC showed they're integrating this at the base operating system level with the new Xbox Gaming Copilot.
Man, the Copilot demo completely blew my mind. This isn't just an OS assistant that launches your games or manages your party chat. It is a multimodal AI that actively watches your gameplay via the frame buffer.
It's constantly observing.
Yeah. In the demo, a player is fighting this complex RPG boss and just keeps dying. And instead of pausing the game to pull up a wiki on their phone or scrub through a YouTube walkthrough, the player just asks out loud Copilot, "How do I beat this monster?"
And the mechanism driving that interaction is what makes it so disruptive. Because the AI isn't simply querying a search engine for generic tips about the game. It utilizes local computer vision to actually analyze the live on-screen action, recognizing the specific boss's attack patterns in real time.
Right.
And simultaneously, it reads the game's UI and the player's internal inventory data.
Yeah, the AI responded in a totally natural conversational voice, analyzing the exact situation. It said, "You have a flaming sword in your backpack. I suggest combining it with the speed potion to avoid the boss's area of effect attack."
It knew exactly what you had.
It provided bespoke tactical advice based on items the player had actually looted, not items a written guide assumed they had. This effectively kills the secondary market for online walkthroughs and guides because the console itself operates as a hyper-aware analytical co-op partner.
It fundamentally alters the friction of gameplay. But, you know, if an AI assistant observing your gameplay changes the experience, the GDC presentations on agentic games demonstrated what happens when the game itself becomes the AI.
Oh, this is the craziest news from GDC.
Right. Large language models are completely old news in this space. Generating text is basic at this point. Developers are now deploying agentic NPCs that are spatially and contextually self-aware.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because these NPCs aren't operating on a standard state machine AI. They aren't just reading from a decision tree of 10 pre-written lines. They are actively writing their own quests and their own dialogue live, utilizing a psychological profile that the engine builds of you, the player.
Yet, the underlying architecture relies on a network layer operating above the local game client. So the local machine handles the rendering, but the NPC psychology, like their memory, their motivations, is stored in a cloud-based vector database.
Which means they remember everything.
Everything. This allows NPCs to query past events, form associations, and even communicate with each other entirely independent of the player's immediate vicinity.
The night ambush scenario they demoed at GDC showcased exactly how terrifyingly smart this gets. Because in a traditional open-world game, if you kill a villager, maybe your global honor meter drops, the local guards chase you for 60 seconds, and then you hide behind a wall and their aggro resets. The world just forgets.
Right, the typical loop.
But in the Agentic game demo, killing that NPC triggered a localized cascade of logic.
Exactly, because the NPCs in the neighboring towns access that event data via the neural network. They didn't just turn hostile. They analyzed the telemetry of the murder itself.
Wait, they analyzed how you did it.
Yes. They processed the player's combat style and realized the player was utilizing heavy, daylight-oriented armor and high-caliber weaponry.
So instead of rushing the player blindly, the neighboring NPCs actively coordinated a counterattack based on tactical logic. They waited until the in-game clock hit midnight, tracked the player to their camp, and ambushed them while their character was in a vulnerable resting state.
It's shelling.
Having the Xbox Copilot watching your inventory on one end and these agentic NPCs plotting against you on the other, it is basically like having the game's lead developer sitting on your couch guiding you while a ruthless dungeon master actively schemes against you behind the screen.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this is the definitive end of linear scripting in game design.
Really? The end of it?
I mean, think about it. A development team cannot write a script for a dynamic night ambush triggered by a specific murder in a specific town, evaluated against a specific armor set. The permutations are just mathematically impossible to hand code.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The AI has to handle the logic dynamically. Every single player will be fed a totally bespoke, directed experience because their micro decisions shape the memory and logic of the digital world around them.
So, what does this all mean for you? Let's bring all these threads together. We are looking at a massive structural paradigm shift in consumer tech. Spring 2026 is the exact moment gaming stops being a predictable, cheap hardware hobby. The rampocalypse is very real. The AI data centers ate the physical component, the silicon, the memory, the affordable graphics cards, and completely starved the traditional manufacturing pipelines.
But in return for swallowing the hardware, the AI sector provided a digital brain. I think the central takeaway from all of these sources is that the future of this medium isn't dancing toward flashy, polygon-heavy graphics rendered through brute force.
Right.
It is dancing toward the smartest, most efficient code. Unreal Engine 5.8 optimizing the CPU bottleneck, NVIDIA's Rubin architecture hallucinating graphics to cheat physical memory limits, and agentic NPCs utilizing vector databases to create living worlds.
The physical components are now premium luxury items, out of reach for many. But the actual experience of playing the games.
The experience trades raw computing muscle for behavioral mind. It will be deeper, more intuitive, and infinitely more responsive to your specific psychology than anything rendered on a 40 series GPU ever was.
Which leaves me with a final thought, something that's been kind of nagging at me since we started analyzing these agentic NPC demos. We've talked extensively about how trying to buy hardware right now is like navigating a desert and AI software is the water keeping the medium alive.
Right.
But if agentic AI and generative rendering mean that the game is writing its own narrative logic and hallucinating its own graphical assets uniquely for you in real time, does the concept of a shared gaming experience even exist anymore? Like, if you and I buy the exact same title, but your game generates a completely different narrative arc, different antagonists, and a completely different visual aesthetic based on your playstyle, how do we even talk about it around the water cooler tomorrow? We might have survived the rampocalypse by cheating physics, but we might have completely fragmented our shared digital reality in the process. Just something to mull over the next time you boot up your system. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive, and as always, keep questioning the tech around you.